Right, councillors, we all agreed to go. We are. Have we any apologies?
Councillor Geisel.
Just a couple of things in chairman's remarks, if you don't mind. Can I congratulate the council or council officers on their input and on the series of events we've had over the last week or so. The very successful footsteps in the forest, which I attended a couple of times. A huge amount of people from across the district and our field. Also the triathlon in Camlin, that's where I got a lit up part lamp the other night. I forgot to put in the fact that it was roasted live. Very successful, 400 participants. And once again, well done to the council and the organisers of that. They also, the council met with the consul general from China and her media. She had a full team with her in Belfast City Council, and it was also a very successful event for council for networking. And if we could tip our toe into the all has to offer, even a part of it would be well, looking well in 10 years' time or less. Also, the half marathon, which council were involved in as well, I was down to kickstart thing, and it was very successful, and congratulations to the organisers. And also for local guy Mark McMullen, who reached the final of Britain's Got Talent. He's from between Croft and Shenfield. He didn't win, but he performed well, and many congratulations to him. Thank you very much for that. On to item number 3, action sheet. So I'll have a copy there in front of you. Gonna hear that.
Sharon, a lot of the actions really come which flowed through previous council meetings and the last council meeting. And again, Jeremy, you can see there's a lot of action or planned action enlisted there. But I have any questions of any members of any?
No, thank you. Item number 4 was the meeting held on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. Could we have a proposer and a seconder? Proposed by Robert, seconded by Barrow Murray. Thank you very much. And your matters arising, sorry?
Michael.
Yes, sir. Michael.
Sir, I have a couple of matters. The first one's an item.
Just on the action sheet of the minutes of the meeting.
Minutes of the meeting. Number page 4 of the SPN, it's the SPNR minutes, Chair. I just want to get an update on the level of consultation there has been to date in relation to the the consultation process. They did raise it, and the view was given that night that would continue and we'd get an update on it. So maybe if I know I've had approaches from some of the local arts groups, very keen to have an input into shaping this new facility. Maybe if Marie can give me a bit of an update on that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. The arts groups around Erie, in particular, have all been contacted directly and had one-to-one discussions just in the plan, the arts centre. We have gathered feedback from them. As you would be aware, we appointed Hamilton Architects just pre the election time, and we're working through that. We're intending to hold a workshop with councillors hopefully towards the end of June, and once we have done that, then we will engage further with the arts sector. I myself and Adrian are actually with Mary Chamber of Commerce Board tomorrow to give them a briefing, so we're just starting on that briefing sessions again to make sure that everybody is involved and has an input to the delivery of the project.
Sorry, Chair, can I raise the other one then, if you have enough?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's in relation to page 6, Chair, in relation to the Albert Basin. It relates to the Albert Basin. And Chair, it's in relation to the wanton vandalism that was carried out on the tram, painstakingly restored by the students, as you know, of SRC College in Uri over a 5-year period. I think there are a lot of questions been asked as to such a valuable potential tourism and historical asset was left in such a condition. What steps have been taken to safeguard it? What steps were taken to try and find a natural home for it? I know we had discussions here about, at one stage, putting it at the Camlin Road roundabout and also potentially putting it as an iconic on the nearby train station. There have been questions asked from the public as to why it had to happen.
and I'd like some just to what steps have been taken to protect it and secure it going forward, and what are the long-term plans for this asset that has been for the students, and what can be done with it going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chair, if I just provide an update on that. So it was agreed at the ERT committee in April that we would seek to locate the tram in the Newry train station. Legals have now signed by TransLink and are with our legal people as of last week, so we're moving to get that concluded as quickly as possible. We have been looking at security for the Albert Basin, and the understanding is that we have managed to clear some space within one of the on the Albert Basin, and we'll be looking to relocate the tram to that position. Having spoke to the staff on Friday regarding it, I believe the damage is repairable and not as significant as was potentially the case. So we will be working for it. The Ring of Gullion Partnership have been involved in the delivery of that project and are very committed to ensuring that it is put in its rightful place up at the train station and recognised for the restoration project that it is.
Have enough of that, Michael. Just before we move on to item number 5, I forgot to overlook to do number 2, declaration of interest. Sorry about that.
No,
do we have any? No. No, thank you very much for that. Item number 5 is the minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 20th of May. Could we have a proposal and second for accuracy, please?
Chairman, just if we just maybe fire you get that there, just what we did with what we've done is we've reflected the positions agreed by the parties. And to it, subsequent that we've got names, the RAB produced 2 schedules, we've just done up 1 schedule, so it will just be the accuracy really relates to the party positions onto it, and the names are up for each of the individual parties. So just Chairman, to clarify that point.
So we're hoping up to that, John, proposal and second for everything then?
Just proposal and second for that there. The other issue is that there is 2 items that Chairman and I wanted to maybe pick up. Maybe you wanted to and then I can pick up the amendments.
Can we have a proposal and second for accuracy of amendments proposed by
Mr. Hannah?
And second by Councillor Dorn.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, Chairman, the 2 items then is in regard to the peace partnerships, independence, Councillor Enright, Councillor and Councillor Tinley, and the Alliance Party had submitted to me a list of names regarding the vacancies where independence and where Alliance Party had places. Where that has been done, we've reflected that in the document. The only one that there's an issue with is in regard to the peace partnership, whereby Councillor Brown and Councillor Bain are both nominated, both are from the party, so really independence need to take one of them positions. Second one is in regard to the Carniford Lock partnership, or local Carniford Lock Commissioners Board. I've been contacted by the Carniford Lock Commissioners Board, who have asked that where possible we should keep the people on the board separate than the people that are on Warm Town Port. So I'll raise this with Sean in terms of Sean Doran and see Sean's lights on, so he's going to pick this up. And the other thing is, too, we want one name from the SDLP as opposed to 2 names. We need just one representative for that. So maybe, Chairman, if we can deal with them issues. You've got the answers done, so maybe you can deal with them issues now.
Patrick?
Thanks, Chair. I actually have my light on another issue, but I'll let Sean come in and then come back in on that one, if that's all right. Just pick up on the piece 4 first, though. So I discussed that with Councillor Riley. He's going to take my place on that.
You're making the proposal?
I'll propose that, yes. If there's a
second here, and then we need agreement.
Second by... We all agree on that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, I'll speak to the Chair and come back to you on that one. Sean, for luck.
Okay.
They're deliberating, we'll have...
No, Weller, it's to do with the appointment to members of council boards, age 6. Particular reference to Liam's statement on the party reps forum, PR 56/2019. I want to make the proposal that the party reps recognise as a representative of smaller parties and independent councillors on that forum, where they have an agreed group leader. Representing a grouping of three or more, as long as that group has open membership of the grouping for all independents today. So it's to ensure that a member of the independent alliance grouping, whatever number of members that has, as long as it's free, gets a agreed leader on the party representatives.
I think we had this debate already and it's been voted on.
Every right to raise it again.
I propose to move on.
No, you need to deal with Stanton Order 24, Chairman.
Right. This is exactly the same arrangement that we had in the last term. So no reason why it shouldn't be recognised again.
I have to quote Standing Orders here, number 24. Have you got your book in front of you there?
No.
Right. It says, no motion to rescind any resolution passed within the preceding section. No motion or amendment to the same effect as the one which has been rejected within the preceding 6 months shall be proposed by a member. Yes, the notice is given in pursuance of Standing Order 16.1. Version name of at least 15% of members of the council. And was just right. Absolutely made. Voted on.
The decision was made at the party reps forum, not at the AGM.
Sorry, just for clarification purposes, the minutes of the party reps was agreed. Both was agreed at the last council meeting of the AGM,
which has been proposed just within the last 10 minutes. Councillor Walker.
No, just Chair. On that, I agree with what you're saying there. And my take on full council minutes is that if a full council meeting, the decision was taken and that it was voted on, and that should be the end of it. So it should.
Yeah, just in reference to the current and lock, separate from what was before, our name is Michael Savage.
Patrick Markham.
Michael Savage.
Seconded for that, Chairman. Seconded.
Seconded or Tarrant. Okay, you want to look at it again now, Patrick?
Yeah, I want some clarification on this. It's my understanding that you can't make changes to minutes before they're ratified.
They were already ratified.
Or an AGM.
They've just been ratified in the last 5 minutes.
Well, I'm proposing a change to them.
And
my life was on before they were voted.
It's been agreed with the council. The time to change it was with the meeting. I'm opposed to the council. What we've agreed is the accuracy of the minutes.
Full meeting.
There's
an AGM.
Full meeting.
Okay. On to item number 6, which is the minutes of the audit committee. Could we have a proposal? Back in our place.
Members of the audit committee.
Two other members proposed by Rushy McGrew, Councillor McGrew. Seconded by Councillor Willie Clark. No. Matters arising, no. On to Slane, that's over to you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Chairman, I'll run through the rest of the correspondence and conference for you again. The NAC conference is on the 20th to the 30th of June. Delegate fee, 350 accommodation, £60 per night, and flights on top of that, Chairman.
Sorry, Chair.
Yeah.
I can't see you, Charlie, with my glasses, believe it or not.
Chewy, I'm here.
Chair, could I maybe ask that as we move forward in the new council, there's a lot of conferences come before us, and when they're presented to us at this stage, there's very little information about what exactly is being discussed, what the benefit is to the whole council, and we rarely get an update from anybody that goes as to what has actually happened when they're there. So I think just in terms of transparency and value for money, for the ratepayer, would be good if we had that little bit of extra information, if at all possible, so that all parties send people on conferences, and by and large they are very, very useful. But I just think for, you know, people coming in and reading it, there's not a lot of information with them, so maybe if we could have expand a little bit on the detail, it would be appreciated.
Is that for some of them or all?
I think we should be doing it for them all, really.
Right.
You know, I think you can't cherry pick what you want. You know, I think there should just be a bit of information, if possible, whatever.
It's on a similar vein to what Roisin said. You know, I think when you look at this and you see the cost associated with it, it does give you some concern about spending that type of money without actually knowing what the value of it is. Because I know we have NAC members obviously here. Robert, for instance, in our own party, you know, if I was to propose him, you know, certainly I would, and everybody as ratepayers would want to know the benefit of that and what it entails. But I suppose the other question is, was it of the opinion of the council to send a delegation to this? To this conference, do they see it as a benefit? going that we don't have all the information in front of us, what would the for the council on this, on a specific conference?
I suppose maybe just to answer that, Chairman, all we have got is the letter from Councillor Brian Nelson. Again, we're probably at the hands of what Councillor, but there's that one page letter is the only information we've got on the agenda, draft agenda.
I think that's the issue that Roisin has just raised, that the lack of information. If we get some clarification or fuller detail on any of them, we can better judge the decision. What are you looking in? Oh, sorry, Henry.
Yeah, Chairman, the conference on the regeneration of towns and villages, certainly I'd be very, very interested in attending that if it was possible. But in the previous council, Chairman, you may recall that if you went on to a conference to represent the council, you report when you come a written report on what the benefits were and what the objectives could come out of it, and that was circulated to the other councillors. And surely most councillors would have the ability to write a one-page A4 report on something or more if they could do it. Thank you.
Do you question Councillor Devillity? Very good. I remember that, Henry.
Similar line, if we could get a copy of the presentations that's been given at the conference, I think that would be useful for all members to avail of, because I think that's what you want the detail of the conference. I would like to see that also. If somebody wants to do a written report, then that's fine.
Councillor Sharman.
Thank you, Chair. Typically, I would say that the conference details that we do get is very lenient and not much to it, but actually this is probably one of the better ones that we've received in times where it does structure what the day will be. There is regeneration projects locally that they will be going to. So I would suggest that if there is NAC members wish to attend, make them product services aware. And I do think it would be very useful for regeneration towns and villages, especially given the landscape that we have within Newry, Moreland and Downs.
Terry, you want
to know? Thanks very much, Chair. Relating to, I know in the old Down District Council days that if you were designated to go somewhere, which I did on a few occasions, I'd always made a point of making a report to the chamber, and that is very important. Just some of the conferences are beneficial to the council, for example, the likes of regeneration of towns and villages, and also waste management. But what I say, I know councillors who have a passion in those subjects do are addressed that are keen to go and give their input and to learn back. But you know, like I've appointed to go to any future conferences and coming back to this council and giving a report to explain what's happened.
But there are 8 nominated NAC members in the chamber, so we need to tie this down. And maybe something that can be agreed by with the parties and other individuals.
At the end of June, Chairman, again.
Yeah. So there's a bit of urgency with it.
We need to know. I would say, Chair, I know Robert has expressed an interest prior to this, you know, with myself, and it's certainly something. That's why I'm asking for this, because it has to be value for money. You know,
right, okay.
Chair, I propose you limit it to 3 places.
Okay. Are people happy enough for that?
It's given them the cost of it. You know, this is repair money. You don't need all the people tripping off. We have a motion coming later in regards to climate change all over the country.
Do you need proposals, sir?
Well, Willie has Kershaw, that we limited. I'll take you in a minute, Doctor.
Do we need proposals in the end?
No, if we can limit it to all.
Yeah, Chairman, I think Ferris pointed out to me, with 3 Sinn Féin members, 3 SDLP, 1 UUP member, 1 NDP member on the NAC, or Stroke Alliance member on it. So if we Sinn Féin want to make a nomination, SDLP or one of the others. It's up to we're in your hands. It's just
Declan, your light's on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just at the end of the day, the question I had was there was open to anybody, and it's quite clear actually what this is about. Our towns and villages have been decimated, and I do think it's quite obvious what the conference is about, and it probably is very good value for money.
So there's one proposal, Robert Burgess.
Sorry, we'll come back with a name for of a Sinn Féin member from NSC that will go.
Yeah. Councillor Sharon?
For the SDLP, we'd like to say Terry.
Well, unfortunately, I won't be available, but.
Are you being serious?
Yeah,
all
right. Well, can we get the SDLP come back then?
Sorry, Josh.
Why did you say it at our pre meeting?
Can we get the Sinn Féin name and the SDLP name?
Yeah. Okay, have Sinn Féin name maybe tomorrow and the SDLP name tomorrow.
Okay.
Happy enough to move on. What about the rest of the correspondence?
Okay, Chairman, just the NILGA annual general meeting again. Just making members at NILGA aware that the annual meeting is on Friday the 21st of June in 2019. As members will know, the president, current president, is Councillor Dermot. Standing down at that last meeting. So again, I know you, Chairman, are hosting NILGA at the Burndale on the 21st. So just again, just NILGA members, especially new NILGA members, it'll be important to come along to it. Chairman, then moving on is again the Housing Council attendance. You'll note that councillors are representative of the last Housing Council attended all the meetings for information. Moving on then to the next piece of correspondence, right? The SOM, yeah, coming to it now. It's just then again, we are members of the SOM and have nominated on our party representatives on the SOM. So we have proposed and seconded to make the yearly subscription to the SOM. Councillor.
My microphone's not working. Actually, I'm squeezing on a bullet.
Sorry, what was that?
My microphone's not working.
Nothing's working all right.
That's working all right, thank you. I would like to make a proposal, sir. We do the usual.
Renew the membership, the annual membership.
Yes, annual membership.
Right. Do we have a seconder for that then?
I second
it. Right, there you are.
I think we missed an item, have we? Item 9. We agreed to item 9.
Yeah.
I think we need to agree to some membership first then.
So they have agreed the annual membership anyway, yeah. That's just been done there now.
And Chairman, I think that the issue is that we will get best value for money for travelling to some. I think we've nominated, the nominations are Andrews this term, so that's they will attend the some. Thing as part of it, that's part of the agreement of them being nominated onto it. So I think we've dealt with that.
Right.
Chairman.
Okay.
Next item then, Chairman, follows on from a notice of motion regarding the helicopter medical services. Again, the information is there, but I suppose the sentence on the paper is regard to the proposal. At this point in time, Richard Bungalli, the Permanent Secretary, says, I do not think consideration of further funding for the aviation costs is appropriate at this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chairman, then moving on to the notice of motion regarding DFI roads. And again, I suppose the answer is there in regard to the notice of motion. Councillor wants to come in on that.
Right. Yeah, Chairman, very disappointed. Their reasoning doesn't seem to add up. And they do actually point out that it is the case across the rest of the Northern Ireland that they do to keep their divisional offices within the electoral ward. So why is it so different for us here? And certainly I would... Or we can bring it up within the next roads meeting. But Chairman, can I just at the last really roads meeting that we had here, the Mr. Richardson, I think you call him, Bride lobbied him here in the chamber after the official meeting about the A2 between Newcastle and Kilkeel. The words he used were, "It's just not worth it." So, mourn. They're just not. they're just not the no worth or value in the eyes
you
of
hate
the,
them,
in the eyes of the civil service. That's what he said to me. He said to me, you'll have to do some realignment, some work you got there, and it's just not worth it. You know, he suggests the volume of traffic's too low on it. But I think that's just their attitude towards over the years. We're not worth it.
Again, Chairman, the road service are down for scheduled for attendance at the end of August meeting.
Chairman, is water service come to that meeting as well?
Water service at the end of June.
Oh, this month?
Yeah.
Right, Chairman, just because the sewer and I'm alone, I've been on to them 3 days here and it's dreadful.
All right. There, Chancellor.
Chairman, then, just moving on then to the next item is the response from Mid Ulster Council to regarding to the modus regarding geographical disposal of radioactive waste management. Moving on then, Chairman, to the next piece of correspondence is the item 15, which is the letter from the Secretary of State regarding the policing board, just bringing you up to date on the current position for members. The members for a period due to expire in June 29th has been pushed out for a further 9 months to the 31st of March 2020. And last piece of correspondence then, the correspondence regarding Rooney Road, again waiting restrictions for any councillors that want to go back to road service and that.
Councillor Hannah.
Chair, to be quite honest with that, a couple of double yellow lines would be very welcome at that particular junction. It does get very congested at the main access to the harbour, so I hope, to be quite honest with you, them double yellow lines are put in place as soon as possible.
And Chairman, then the last piece of correspondence then is from Marge and North Down regarding notice of motion. I don't intend to read through, Chairman, but we want to just get a view from, they want to formally place and record their support for the creation of a national monument to act as a symbol of fraternal gratitude for all emergency service personnel who have served or been killed in the course of their duties. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Councillor Murray.
Sorry, Bart, to be
yes,
seen right there.
No, it's all right. Our party would like to forward just the nature of this correspondence. And while we'll all applaud and owe a debt of gratitude to all the emergency services daily to save lives, we're concerned that it may seek to honour some sections of the military that we wouldn't necessarily wish to include. And we would propose, therefore, that this issue will be passed on to the Good Relations Forum for discussion. Mm-hmm.
Do we have a seconder for that? Sure. It is.
Chairman, can I just point out that the military already have a facility called the National Arboretum where there's memorials and all the names of deceased soldiers over the generations are recorded. This here seems to be for ambulance and fire brigade and that type of thing, and I don't think see anything politically sensitive about that whatsoever.
That's all we want to start. It's proposed by Barr and seconded by Liz. So Lily?
Chair, I would tend to agree with Councillor Riley in this, and it's sad that he is trying to politicise it here in relation to our military. However, I actually think it's to do with the ambulance service, the fire and rescue service, and the fire and rescue service. But you know, we are where we are here in this country. Things are being politicised for their own reasons. So they are, and I think it's something that we be supporting as a council. So we should.
The UP would never politicise anything. David?
Chair, I have to say, I don't think there's absolutely anything to fear for anyone here within this motion, and certainly our party would be behind it. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to all those who serve within the emergency service. They provide a vital life to all of us, and certainly I am concerned that this could be politicised going forward. I certainly think we should have accepted it tonight and moved in supporting it, but if there is a discussion on it, so be it. But certainly we'll be fully behind what of us here now, and I don't think it should be politicised by any political party.
Thank you. Patrick?
Yep. I would share the opinions of the two speakers before me. I've been reading this over and over again. I can't see anything between the lines here that's talking about anyone other than emergency services personnel, so I don't see why council lend our support to this, and I don't see any reason to be discussed further on the good relations forum. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing there to do with good relations or relations. It's pretty straightforward. It's honouring our emergency services personnel.
Get over. Just want to declare an interest as being a chair, a board member of the Fire and Rescue Service. I know that we already have our memorials and for deceased firefighters. It might be useful to ask the boards of the fire service and the ambulance service what they think themselves.
Good point.
Thank you, sir. I suppose from my own knowledge of the event that took place in Ardlass, in giving James Keenan from Ardlass, who wrote the poem that was read at the event itself, who himself is part of the NHS, my understanding is that it is only off the emergency services as mentioned by other members. We did read it and we did include certain elements that have been raised, but we as a group feel that didn't, unless Liam has that clarity himself at this time, I see no reason why we can't support it, given that it does mention emergency services and the event that already has taken place in Bangor already.
Sure, I think a proposal
we support.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My understanding of it is, you know, that this is in the very early stages. By delaying it so we as a council can have a full conversation and ask for transparency isn't going to the project. We're just merely asking for more information. And in fairness to Cadogan, I think he's right. And, you know, we haven't been part of this conversation. What conversations have taken place with emergency services? Each and every one of us rely on our fire service, our ambulance service. There is no one in our community that deserves more respect. No one is questioning that. We're just asking that we as a grouping have an opportunity to go away and discuss this at length, exactly what it is they're proposing, where it is going to be placed, you know, what the input from council will be expected to be. Those sorts of questions. There's a lot of he thinks. We don't interest in what we think. We want to know what is fact.
Lily?
Chair, just to back Councillor Mulgrew, I think it's important we do have a discussion with the emergency services, you know, and ask them in regards to their opinion. Does it include the lifeboat? Does it include the Coast Guard? Does it include Mountain Rescue? So I think the best arena for that is in a confidential environment, which is the good relations for. So I don't think it hurts anybody.
Well, we have two different proposals. Sorry. John, you looking in?
Yeah, sorry, Chair. I'm trying to find out why we're relations forum if it's not a contentious issue. People are saying that this is not a contentious issue, but they're saying they want more information. So the question has to be, why are you sending it to good relations, which is usually used for contentious issues, where we'd be looking at identity or culture or whatnot? Just looking for the clarity for my own self here in this.
Chair, sorry. The point I think has been made that the clarity has not been provided by the Chief Executive in regards to what the makeup of the memorial be. All Sinn Féin is doing is seeking clarity in regards to that. In regards to the emergency services, we're very content, but we just think we need that better discussion and a wee bit of time to have that discussion.
Okay. As I was going to say, we have two, one from Barrow and Murray, seconded by Liz. We defer it for further information to, in this case, the Good Relations Department. Any, all those in favour of that particular proposal? Show of hands.
Two. three, four, five.
Against.
Well, when you have four scored four, it's automatic it's going to have against. So you should know how it goes now. You're about long enough. You're about long enough.
10 against.
Right, 10 against. Okay. That's it. You don't need the other one then. Right, we now have a number of notices of motion here. And what I intend to do is I intend to get people who are proposing and seconding just to introduce the motions. There's three of them actually are going to be deferred to the relevant committee. The climate change is going to planning because it's a planning issue. The suicide zero down to zero is going to active and help the communities, and the vending machine one is going to active and help the communities. The other one we're going to, because of the time frame and the short consultation process, this will be closing very soon, we're going to have some discussion on that one. So, get over here first.
The chairperson, I really must protest that you're referring to a subcommittee. Really, this is a major issue. The two governments in Britain and Ireland have made to discuss this issue. And it's really outrageous that climate change is treated in the important manner in which it. We need to give direction to the planning committee, not vice versa. I'm asking that we make it a council issue and we debate it here.
Well, the planning committee is a full council, so we're letting that particular body deal with it because it's a planning issue at the end of the day. Are you proposing the motion?
Yeah, I propose we take it here in full council.
No. Sorry. Yeah. Are you going to propose it anyway?
Well, it could be, first of all, put it that it should to put it be discussed at full council here. Wrong with my microphone. Because we want to get a direction to the planning. Yeah, could you get the justification of why you're referring this to planning? Because it's not a planning matter, it's a policy issue from council to planning.
Yeah, Liam has pointed out, it's a planning issue because it refers to the development plan.
Again, just for clarification, we have now decided the development plan is the responsibility of the planning committee.
There you go. Okay. No, go on to the next one then.
Well, if you're insisting on ignoring this as a council issue, I will propose it, but very much under protest.
Okay.
Will I be allowed to speak on it?
No.
Do we have a second or fourth?
Well, can I request the suspension of standing orders? Leave it to councillors to decide whether or not this is important enough to be decided by full. Can I get a proposer for the suspension of standing orders? I'll propose it.
Well, you need 15% of all present here and voting.
Chairman, he has proposed it, so therefore you put it to the standing orders. It
requires. That's a recorded vote on that.
Do you need to discuss it there for a few minutes?
No, I think so. Okay, Chairman, start reading out the names then.
You've already asked for suspension of standing orders. Patrick Brown.
Thank you, Chair.
No. I'm only outlining the fact that you've seconded his proposal to propose to suspend standing orders. We're going to vote on that now.
I would like to speak to that proposal. I think
you don't need to. I propose to second it.
I can speak to it.
No, you can't.
Unless
no,
you're excluding me from the chamber. Right, why?
Those in favour of that proposal,
I'm allowed to speak.
80%. Is 80% voted? Sorry.
Why?
Chairman, the proposal to suspend standing orders. Councillor Andrews. Councillor Bain. Councillor Brown. Councillor absent. Councillor Casey.
Against.
Mark. Councillor Curran. Councillor Devlin. Absent. Councillor Doran. Councillor Enright. Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Gibbons. Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hanna. Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Howell. Councillor Kimmins. Councillor Larkin. Councillor Lewis. Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Malone. Councillor Mason. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McAvoy. Councillor McKee. Councillor McKevitt. Councillor Mulgrew. Councillor O'Hare. Councillor Murray. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rowan. Absent. Councillor Savage. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stoke. Absent. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Trainer. Councillor Walker. It's 21-4 and 16-0. The suspension standing orders can only be the minister meeting. Just dealing with this. A motion on this requires the support of a qualified majority, meaning Section 40 of the 2014 Act, which requires more than it requires 80% voting, and it hasn't received 80%. So standing orders stand, Chairman.
Okay.
So we move on then to
I'm still going to speak to this issue.
Patrick,
you're proposing the motion. Read it out.
Your partner.
Right. Thank you. Mary Morland Down's draft local development plan to 2030, preferred options paper, went to consultation in June 2018. And the consultation closed on the 24th of August 2018. The development plan is minimalistic in dealing with climate change. It notes the lack of national government targets and uncertainty over the future of renewable targets. It comments that there is no system-wide need for further renewable energy being connected to the grid. Key issue 18. The plan acknowledges that the council has 160 kilometres of coastline, but there are no plans to deal with sea level rise in the document. In October 2018, the UN announced that we have 12 years to save the planet. UN scientists gave the starkest warning yet that our chances of tackling climate change and averting disaster were slipping away. They said delaying to 2030 would be too late to avoid a 2% rise in global temperatures and climate catastrophe. The UN says action by government actors, i.e. us, would need to be taken now. Westminster is paralysed by Brexit and Stormont is not sitting. In view of this and the UN climate change warnings for 2030, Council declared a climate change emergency and will fundamentally revise and amend the draft of the 2030 Newry Morland Down Development Plan preferred options paper to deal with the rising sea levels, the need to transition to 100% renewable energy, the infrastructure for the electrification of transport over the next 10 years, and how our district can command a strategic advantage in being a major producer of renewable energy on the island of Ireland, and bring large numbers of well-paid jobs and boost the commercial rates of the council from new renewable installations.
Oh, near chocolate, my sweet there. We need a second for that.
I'll be seconding the motion, but I add to that that I'm very disappointed that it's being moved to the planning committee on two grounds. First of all, I don't think motions should be moved to the planning committee. It's an all-day committee. It has far too much on the agenda already before dealing with motions as well. Secondly, we've not even been here for an hour, Chair. Nearly all of the councillors of this council sitting here able to discuss and vote on something that is very important. And the other
I don't know where you're going with it, Patrick, but there's none of that in front of me here. So you're just firing it off.
We've got the press here, we've got observers here. And
you're second, have you seconded?
I've said I'm seconded. I'm moving
on the next one now.
And I'm shocked at the democratic deficit of this council right now.
Item number 19, press and desperate services. That's proposed by Councillor Mulgrew and seconded by Councillor Kimmins.
Thank you very much, Chair. The motion on behalf of reads, I have to say the microphones are dreadful tonight, Liam. The motion reads that Newry Mourne and Down District Council write to both Shane Devlin, CEO of Southern Trust, and Richard Pengelly, Permanent Secretary, stating clearly that the proposal to remove breast assessment services from Southern and South Eastern Trust will not be tolerated. The services currently being provided by Craig Avon Area Hospital and Belfast City Hospital are excellent, and to remove these services would have a hugely negative impact on all of those trust areas, and particularly those from rural communities. We've just two separate meetings going on. And I think this is quite an important area that everybody needs to pay attention to. We will all be aware that the trusts and department have a number of community consultations out regarding a number of issues. And we within Sinn Féin felt that the breast assessment unit was being somewhat overlooked. I'm just going to touch very briefly on Craig Avon Area Hospital, as it is the one that I am most familiar with. And just for a little bit of background information, last year 1,700 people, predominantly women but not exclusively women, were referred to use the services there. It also has to be noted that the Southern Trust has the fastest growing population and indeed one of the fastest ageing population. The services currently being provided in Craigavon are excellent, and the unit currently meets the 2-week red flag target for anyone suspected of having breast cancer. Not only that, in many ways it is a first, and in other ways it is unique in the services that it provides. It was the first unit in the north of Ireland produce MyGseed, which is a way of detecting and removing tumours which are so tiny that they cannot be felt, but are nonetheless deadly if not removed and treated. It is also the first to introduce vacuum-assisted excision, which minimises the need for surgery and reduces the trauma for patients. It is also the only unit in the north to perform high-definition tomosynthesis for all family history patients. It is the only unit in the north that does that, and yet it is under threat. It is also the only area in the north where there is a breast pain clinic operating. Now, that is actually operated out of Daisy Hill Hospital, but is linked to Craigavon. There are a number of serious questions which must be asked. The project board actually recommended that 4 hospitals would be retained providing breast assessment units. So we now ask, why is the recommendation coming from Mr. Pengelly that it is only 3? Currently, Craigavon provides a triple assessment. That means when anybody goes there and is suspected of having a cancerous lump, they see the consultant, the radiographer, and the pathology department is there. So they have those 3 disciplines under the roof. If the consultant and the radiographer are uncertain as to what they are dealing with, a biopsy is performed and the patient gets their results within an hour. It is particularly concerning to me that Antrimurray Hospital, which is one of the preferred sites for the breast assessment, we are to agree with this consultation, hasn't got pathology. Why would we be taking an excellent service and putting it into a hospital that cannot provide that service, and there is to be no extra money sent and spent on breast assessment? So therefore, we can only assume that pathology is not produced in Antrim. We talk here all the time about rural isolation, and we can never allow this to be ignored. Again, whenever Creative Area Hospital was included with the Belfast Ngevan hospitals in terms of patients, the travel time for patients right across the north was significantly reduced, and yet this has been ignored. We have talked extensively to staff from the various units tell us that the capacity is not within three units to deal with the number of referrals that are from GPs to assessment units. That is the word of the professionals, and we must listen to that. However, the most disappointing and alarming thing, in all, the project board asked a number of women what would the effect of having moved to perhaps Altnagelvin, perhaps Antrim, Dundonald. We don't know, because it'll be a central booking system. You'll be offered an appointment and you don't know where it's going to be. And the most alarming thing about that is 25% of women said if they felt they were low risk of having breast cancer, they would not go to their appointment. 25%. And that is absolutely startling. Thank you very much, Chair, for hearing them.
Councillor, are you going to second it?
Yes, Chair. I just want to formally second the motion. There's just a few other issues that I wanted to point out regarding the consultation and the process around that. And a number of concerns were brought to our attention and that we picked up on ourselves, particularly around the time consultation. Originally, it was for January 2019, and for an unknown reason was then delayed to March, which meant that the consultation period was actually affected due to PIRDA, as we had local government elections. So, fortunately, we were already extended, but, you know, it concerns us that the department didn't realise that, or didn't think that would have an impact on people's consultation. As the figures there speak for themselves, and I don't think there's one person in here whose family or someone close to them hasn't been affected by breast cancer. And, you know, early detection is one of the keys to the treatment. So it is vitally important. And obviously, everybody who I've spoken to has wanted to respond to the consultation. Some of the issues with the actual consultation document and how people could respond, it was online, making it very difficult for a lot of people to formally submit their responses. The language in it was particularly obtuse. It was very difficult to understand for the ordinary person who maybe isn't familiar with the medical terms, and makes it difficult to respond in the way that you feel you wish to get the points across. One of the other key issues as well was how they were directing your responses was through an email address. They provided the wrong email address, so a lot of people who initially responded were actually sent it to the wrong email address unbeknownst to themselves. It has been rectified, but initially it was rectified and it was being directed to the stroke consultation email address. So lots of issues with the things. This is a key issue, and we know that there are lots of consultations happening at the minute regarding really important services, mental health, stroke, etc., which have been very much in the public eye. So it is so important that this is dealt with and people have the right length of time to respond and are able to respond with information, you know, that they can appropriately. And just finally, to finish on that, it's been released over the course of today, the public that the government has now organised. And it's very disappointing to see that the public in the breast assessment services is actually going to be in Craigavon, and there's none planned for new. And, you know, a lot of people will not make that journey or won't be able to make that journey. So, you know, it is very disappointing again that that's going to provide a gap in consultation responses. So thanks, Chair.
There is definitely a problem with the microphones. I don't know if you can hear me all right. Sometimes your microphone isn't working. So if you are, I'm going to take anybody that's indicated I'm taking them in to speak. make sure you have your microphone as close as you can to yourself, and let's take it from there. Councillor Harvey, next.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just like to start out by saying thanks to Councillor Rose for bringing this motion here tonight. It is certainly a motion that I'm sure has touched most of our connections, family members or friends. Also thank Liz Cummins for seconding for all the comments and details on it. We'll not go into it all, but we'd just like to say we'd be fully supportive of it and appreciate you bringing it. Thank you.
John.
Thanks, Chairman. And I had a problem with my mic. I'm definitely not Pete Burden, but can I thank Roche and Liz for bringing this motion, particularly when it's probably the first opportunity this new council has got to bring motions for, and it shows the importance of it right through this area. They both have gone into attention to detail, which I totally agree with. And particularly worrying one point that they've made was the centralisation appointment, where if a patient has been referred on from their doctor, that they'll be given the next available appointment, and that could be constituents having to travel as far away as Derry for that appointment. And the trauma that people go through, or patients go through, waiting on a diagnosis is probably to have to travel to Craigavon. Without it being at Daisy Hill, never mind away to Altmagevin and Derry. But I feel that the staffing challenges, which has been highlighted, it has been used again as an excuse to change the services and hospitals around our area. And it's, the word not be tolerated, I think, is very strong, and it shouldn't be diluted in any way in the letter that's going to hopefully be sent by the council. The five health trusts that are currently providing the services, and want to enhance them in the five trusts. We're not saying no to that, and we don't a change when the service isn't broken. Yes, the southern area had a waiting which wasn't within the 14 days as recommended, but that was back in 2017, and that has improved vastly at Gavin Hospital. There was a few other things that Richard Pengelly had stated that he will listen to the voices of patients in this public consultation. And can I highlight just, you know, it's not just women who get breast cancer. There's 1% of men that also do it. And if we can encourage everybody in this council and maybe our staff, up to the attention of them, this consultation is going on where you can hit a large number of people with their families, that the closing date isn't until the 19th of July, and they have an opportunity to respond, even though, as Councillor Cummins has said, that even though the online information and the wording of it isn't anything to be proud of, from anybody putting out a consultation to the layperson, you know, take a look at it, and maybe this council should be given on how to respond as well. And if we could take that as a small amendment as well to this motion, well and good. But I don't think anybody can get the right feeling of what goes on in someone's life when they have been diagnosed or the potential have been diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. And with your indulgence, Chair, and with my family members' permission, I want to read just what it was like for the small paragraph, so maybe it will give people an insight into just what has gone on just lately in Craigavon Hospital. Summer 28 is a summer I'll never forget. One Saturday night in early August, I discovered a lump. I seen my local GP on the Monday, who urgently referred me to Craigavon. I was seen the following Monday by a consultant and unfortunately diagnosed with initially stage 2 breast cancer. At age 33 and a mother of three young kids, my world fell apart. My consultant and my breast care nurse Eimear were simply amazing. I had my surgery within a fortnight, but a much larger hidden tumour was discovered. It was then stage 3 and much more serious. My consultant squeezed me into her ready busy schedule and again I was operated on for the second time within a week. Her expertise meant I didn't need a mastectomy and my breast was saved. How any so-called paper pusher can try and tell us that Craig Avon needs to be relocated and aren't hitting their targets, it's ridiculous. From my date of diagnosis, I had two surgeries under the care of my consultant and her team within 5 weeks. From Yuri, Daisy Hill were unable to touch my PICC line when it started bleeding and practically incapacitated me from chemo. My husband had to drive me to Craig Avon to be seen by nurses for them to help me. I dread to think if I had to actually travel further than Craig Avon to be seen, what would happen. I am still under the care of this amazing team and will be doing so for the rest of my life due to my age. Without them, I simply wouldn't be here today to even write this. My friends and colleagues and family have kindly helped me to sign the petition that is out there to help save this unbelievable service. She already has over 600 signatures, Mr. Chairman, and I hope that this helps ensure this service moves to Gavin, as I dread to think the lives that will be lost if it's relocated. Mr. Chairman, can I urge everybody in the public to sign the petition, and in the words of the two councillors that proposed this motion, that any reduction in the services for the breast clinic should not be tolerated. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Karen. Who's next? David? Put the letter
out, sir. Yeah, I think I said, sure. Okay. Chair, could I firstly thank Councillor Mulgrew and her party colleagues for bringing forward this motion. It's a vital issue that we're discussing here tonight, and certainly my party will be supporting the motion before us. I attended a meeting a number of weeks ago on this issue that Councillor Mulgrew was actually at, but that took place in Newry. And it was a very well attended meeting, and I think it was very clear from the discussion that took that room that night that people were very, very angry and very, very concerned about the proposal to remove the breast assistance from Craig Avon and the impact that would have on breast cancer sufferers and indeed their families, with the implication of having to near practically to the other side of the country receive treatment and any assessment services. It's certainly something that I think the wider community is concerned about as well, and I certainly do encourage, as has been already reiterated by other councillors, that people do respond to consultation. I think with any consultation that takes place that's organised by government departments, they always try and word them in a certain way that pursues their agenda rather than the interests of the wider public and the impact that it has on them. And I think that's something that we need to be cautious about and careful about, that people respond in the way that they want to so that they can fully brief outline their concerns about the impact that this will have. And indeed at that meeting that Newry that night, there was a medical professional there who has experience in working in this unit, and she certainly made it very clear about the impact that this would have if it was implemented. I don't think it's be tolerated by anyone within the local community. Certainly anyone, I think every family has been touched by cancer, whatever type of cancer. You know, it's difficult, it's extremely difficult for the patient, but for their family. And for them to have to go through this process, It's a very, very difficult process as it is, but certainly it's something, you know, they shouldn't have to go to the country to receive this type of treatment. It'll take too much out of them all, physically and emotionally draining. And if we can plan as a council to try and ensure that this is maintained, we must do that. The one thing I would also say that has been mentioned as well is that we find ourselves at the minute where there's been a series of consultations open the health issues. Again, the drug stroke unit was mentioned. Again, something that has an impact on our local area. And I think it's not acceptable that they've tried to bring all these issues to the fore at once. In my opinion, it's been a deliberate ploy to try and put people off the spot. But certainly I think, and I've seen from other public meetings that have taken place in the wider area, they seem to be well attended, and I think the issue is getting across the community. But again, anything that we can do to encourage the community to respond to this, they must do that, because that's the only way we can answer retaining the service as it stands. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, David. Commissioner Harvey. Oh, Walker. Commissioner Walker, sorry. David, you're right.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. And I want to thank for bringing this motion forward. It's something I believe that we need top of, so we do, and I'd make maybe a couple of suggestions. We do have a health working group which includes the Southern Trust. While tonight's motion will write to the Southern and Trust in relation to it, I think it should be kept on the agenda for that as well, where we as councillors who sit on it can lobby and take it forward as well, where it's not put on the back burner. Because all too many motions that come forward to this council in relation to health issues, we discuss them, a letter goes off, and that's the end we hear, that's the last we hear of it. We need to keep it to the fore, and if we could do that through the working group that was set up within the Southern Trust and the South Eastern Trust, I think it would keep pressure on them. And I also think that we should be sending a small delegation to meet the Minister, or to meet the Permanent Secretary in relation to this, because it is a very serious issue. So it is, and I concur with every speaker so far in relation to it. So if Roisin would agree to maybe it being included in the next working group for discussion as well, it'll keep it on the boil, and maybe asking and urging the Permanent Secretary to meet a small delegation in relation to it, because we need to put pressure. I believe that just sending letters and getting a reply from Richard Pingelly isn't good enough. We need to meet him face to face.
Chairperson,
I thank Roisin for bringing this motion forward and like cross-party support this right. I know that a lot of our councillors here are actually living in the South Eastern Trust, and we have a continuous struggle to ensure that service centred on Belfast in the crowded setting of perhaps the Ulster Hospital, and could be better here local in the local Downpatrick Hospital. So we know that they're I'm very sorry about this, microphone is just intolerable, you know. But suffice it to say that this is just.
The microphone will pick you up. Sorry.
Yeah. We can't let this one go. Please correct. Sending a letter in order to get a letter back doesn't work. We actually need to make time to go and visit. And I would commend everyone here for making this a cross-party motion. I think urgent issues like this, Chairperson, what party they come from, need to be given only to these cross-party motions, regardless of what party they come from.
You're laid out there now. Henry.
Yeah. Chairman, I support the sentiment in the notice of motion, but I would did actually at the meeting that we had here with the Southern and Eastern Trust, I did bring this issue up, and I raised many of the issues that Roisin has raised tonight. And in fairness to the staff that were here at that meeting, they did give a very good deep explanation of why they want to do this, and they were totally adamant that it would lead to an increase in survivability for people who did get breast cancer. But since then, I cannot follow the logic of moving parts to the Ulster Hospital, because somebody from Kilkeel, to go down to the Ulster Hospital, it's on a long Newcastle bench in the Belfast, it's a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. Whereas somebody from Dundonald can go straight down into the city centre, onto the West Link, and up into Craig Avenue in half an hour. So why, if they do believe genuinely that it would improve survivability and lead to an increased and improved service. Why not move it all to Craigavon? Now, I know there's issues with parking at Craigavon and people up there getting cancer treatment, coming out and getting their £60 fine. It's a, I was going to say a bad word there, but it is a disgrace what's happening up there at the minute. But Chairman, surely they should look at alternatives. And Craigavon is centrally located in the middle of Northern Ireland. It's a good hospital, really good outcomes from it. So it wouldn't do any harm to bring that woman back here again. I just can't recall her name, but she did give a very analysis and an explanation of the intent behind it. And Chairman, the other thing is, what's more important, the Irish language or those issues? Surely to goodness, we need to get Stormont up and running, and the two big parties need to get their heads knocked together and get this done, because if we don't, this will be a civil servant making this decision when it should be a minister.
Una.
Just want to fully endorse the motion that my party colleagues made this evening. I would like to highlight just from this central area that a lot of ladies and gents from this area would be using the Belfast City Hospital, and it is questionable that a decision is being made to place the breast assessment centre at the Ulster Hospital only, when so many related services and all the specialist expertise already exist at the Belfast City Hospital. I would also highlight that there are better transport links to the Belfast City Hospital for people who don't drive or maybe rely on lifts, etc. Patients should be getting the assessments they need within the target waiting times set out, and shouldn't have to face any longer waiting. But the department's consultation limits breast assessment services to three hospital models for the North Ireland, and that appears to predetermine the outcome of the consultation. So I would just like to put on record that I feel it's very concerning, and I would encourage everyone to respond to the consultation and make your voice heard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, agreed, I think.
Apologies. Thanks, Chair, again supporting the motion as well. I believe, you know, looking at it, it's an absolutely gross insult, you know, not to include it, not even have included Craigavon. Rather innovative idea that would link the services to the southern part of the north. And looking at the population of those two trusts, you know, that and the southern trust combined has a population of over 700,000 and rising in this area. We have the fastest growing area as well. And, you know, we all want the best services, of course, you know, but if you're trying to put together a fair and equitable consultation document, you would have thrown it out there. And I noticed the reading in it, the wording in it, Greater Belfast, likely to be the Ulster Hospital, subject to the development of appropriate patient pathways. You know, looked at it as if, you know, we're attempting to just justify something and the infrastructure is not even in place to deliver a service. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, lucky enough, we've got an extension put under this here. Party colleagues, Shane Bally, did that along with other elected representatives. But it's an absolute disgrace that we haven't even bring this motion to such an issue, such as breast care. You know, they were forced to bring a motion such as this here to defend this, you know. Thank you, Chair.
Before I get to sum up, there's two caveats, one from Aaron and one from Councillor Walker. Walker's supposed to...
Could I just maybe come in, Charlie, in response to those, just to, you know, to see if we can sort of...
I'm just going to ask you for your response.
Is that okay, Charlie? First of all, there's no doubt about it that we as a council put a huge amount of effort into setting up the health committees to try and foster good, positive relations between ourselves and our two trusts, the two trusts that we work with. I'm not sure, Henry, I must have been waiting because I'm not sure the conversation that Henry heard from someone because, and I'm not saying it didn't happen, Henry, I'm just saying I wasn't, must have missed it, but the last time that we met with the two trusts here, they informed us that there was a consultation coming out later that week on stroke. They never mentioned breast or ambulance or mental health or anything else, but they said there is a consultation later this week with stroke. Now, I would feel, to be quite honest, to keep good relations going,
If they are aware that consultations are going to be released, that they should be coming to us and saying, we're happy to meet you, sports chamber, but something drastic is going to happen. There's a drastic proposal coming down the tracks. I'm certainly happy to come and meet them on a different day, cancel that date and push it back a week or night. It doesn't have to be on a Monday. This was too important an issue to slip in unbeknownst. You know, so that would be the first thing that I would say regarding the Health Committee. I actually believe that as, you know, as representing the people of our district, I believe that council offices should automatically hold copies of any consultation that comes out from the Health Department. Because there have been a lot of people, we have been inundated with people who haven't been able to download the information online. They've been coming into our office. Despite the fact that we asked the Trust to give us copies, they have yet to do so. So I actually think that as we move forward, part of the recommendations, and the Committee McCarran and Billy have both mentioned, it was something that I wanted to bring to our next Health Committee, that we would actually recommend we automatically hold copies of consultation so people know that they can go to their local office and pick up a copy of the consultation. I fully take on board what Karen said about assisting people. We have actually had several meetings with everybody from the consultants, the radiographer and the pathology, and we have been given guidelines. Now, we are actually working in the next couple of weeks with a number of charities who are holding open days to invite people to come in, get copies of the consultation and to give the medical-based answers based on medical reasons why this is wrong. So in further consultations, I don't think any of us in this room have the answers. You know, they need to be on people that have the knowledge. If we are able to interact with groups that can provide that knowledge for us, I've no issue with us again using it. As I say, at the minute we have detailed responses from the medical team. So again, that is something that we have, and we are working with a number of charities throughout, from Cross McGlen to Downpatrick, to actually those during the week. The final thing is there's a slight bit of confusion. Knitted have the online petition, and a number of people have said we've signed the petition. People need to be very clear that the petition and the consultation are two separate documents, and while we absolutely are encouraging people to support Knitted Knockers and their signing of the petition, we're making it abundantly clear the consultation is key to being filled in. So I've no issue with anything that Billy or Karen has said. And I certainly think that we need to discuss it further at the Trust meetings. I think the way this was introduced was it was deliberately deceiving to us. Okay?
So, Michael, do you want to come in there on the consultation?
Thank you, Chair. It's just to say that we have both consultations currently. Officers within the Health and Wellbeing are working on those. We will have drafts of the responses to those consultations at the AHC committee meeting on the 17th of June for approval, and obviously the discussion tonight will inform how we respond to the questions asked in those consultations. And just on the point of consultations, we generally get all of the consultations that come out, and it's certainly a good point and maybe something we'll talk about at the Health Forum meetings about how we make sure that members of the public know how to get that and can get access to it in some of our facilities, so we'll certainly take that on board also.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. So we all agreed then, I think, are we, with the couple of caveats to it? We'll have enough of that?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
Go on to number 20, there's a notice of motion from Councillor Brown and Councillor Gibbons. I'm just going to take the motion as I propose and second it. It's, as I say, it's been referred to Active and Healthy Communities and sustain with the last one on vending machines. I'll take the proposal and seconder, the motion, and refer them to the AHC committee.
Chair, I think this motion should be discussed here and hopefully endorsed by all council tonight, not at committee. I've been over here for just an hour and a half, and there's no reason everyone is here. We shouldn't have this open and transparent debate where everyone or most everyone is present and able to vote on it. We're currently in a mental health and suicide crisis. We're also in a climate crisis as well, which is the reason why Councillor Enright's motion as well. And the chair would rather minimise and belittle these issues by sending them to committee.
No, no, that's not true.
Many members don't sit on the committees and won't be able to vote on them.
I'm about long enough to remember that this a motion of this nature has come before council, I think, 5 times.
And it's been discussed here. And what is the point of full council if we can't raise awareness and take action on these vital issues now?
So it has come before full council, full committee.
We suspend standing orders again.
Propose a motion, second a motion, and refer to
Health
and Healthy Communities.
I've got a seconder for that. Suspension of standing orders.
Proposed by yourself and seconded by who?
Councillor Enright.
Councillor Enright.
Okay, Chairman, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Bain. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Byrne absent. Councillor Casey.
Yes.
Councillor Clark. Councillor Curran. Councillor Curran. A for suspension of standing orders or against it? Against the suspension. Councillor Devlin absent. Councillor Dorn absent. Councillor Enright. Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Gibbons. Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey. Councillor Hardy absent. Councillor Kimmins, yes. Councillor Larkin, yes. Councillor Lewis, yes. Councillor McGuinness, yes. Councillor Malone, yes. Councillor McAteer, yes. Councillor Mason, Councillor McAvoy, yes. Councillor McKee, yes. Councillor McKevitt, yes. Councillor Mulgrew, yes. Councillor, yes. Councillor Murray, yes. Councillor Rennie, yes. Councillor Rowan, absent. Councillor Savage. Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Stokes. Absent. Sorry. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Councillor Walker.
Four. 24-15 again. Hasn't got the qualified majority vote. So,
can I have a proposal and a second motion out, please, and that's... It'll be thank referred you. To the Active and Healthy Communities.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to those members who did support that suspension. Motion proposed is that this Council will adopt a suicide down to zero approach to combat prevalence of suicide across our district. It commits to closer partnering with local mental health and suicide prevention charities and will establish a suicide prevention with a dedicated officer, council officer responsible, meeting quarterly with representation from all party groupings and the necessary resources to develop and implement the strategy to deliver the commitment of bringing suicides in the district down to zero. The council will establish a new grant scheme within the existing financial assistance program to fund projects specifically dealing with mental health and suicide in the district, the criteria and performance of which will be drawn up by the working group and monitored by the Active and Healthy Communities Directorate. Council will also write to the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health, lamenting the abject failure of the Department to implement the Protect Life 2 strategy, and that this strategy should have been signed off regardless of the absence of an executive, given its vital life-saving and non-contentious nature.
Councillor Gibbons, are you going to speak on it? You just second it? Right, that's it. Proposal second it. Item number 21 is a notice of motion on vending machines, and this is coming from Councillor Clark. Do you want to just introduce the motion, Councillor?
Right, sure. This Council will introduce a policy for Council buildings and leisure centres with vending machines, replenish them with healthy choice snacks and drinks, and will reduce the availability of high sugar items such as fruits, high sugar fizzy drinks, and high fat snacks. Furthermore, Council will encourage other partner organisations on the Community Planning Partnership Board to follow the example of Council and implement similar interventions within their organisations. These measures will assist us in obesity, creating nudge strategies to facilitate healthier choices to help people to change their diet.
Do we have a second for that?
changing. That's it. That's it, gentlemen. All agreed with that. Thank you very much for that. That's it. Good night.